And now here's Chris McCann being interviewed by Jay Thomas on SiriusXM Satellites, The Jay Thomas Show, from a broadcast February 24th, 2015.
How you doing, Chris?
Thanks for having me on.
Sure, like 3 years ago or so, four years ago, I guess.
Yeah, it's going on four now.
Yeah, we talked about, now that was the old guy that's passed away, right?
He's Harold Camping.
Yeah, did you believe that that was going to be the end of the earth when he
yes.
predicted it?
Yes, I believe that was definite. I believe May 21, 2011 would definitely be Judgment Day, and you know, I think we talked about the great earthquake and that we were expecting, and you know, the things that would follow along with that, obviously we all know that didn't happen. But
you can't just gloss over that. People lost millions of dollars. They sold their homes, their cars. They were ostracized by their families. Even the guy's family said, you know, he really kind of went off the deep end. Then he put another thing out there. It. Did you sell everything? Were you ready to go?
No, I didn't sell everything. I didn't have much to sell. But,
right.
But I, you know, you hear that, but I never ran into anybody that sold their house or their car. Maybe more people gave more than they typically do, but I think it's very rare that someone sold all their possessions, if it happened at all. And, I mean, if one person does it and it hits the news media, then it's like everybody did it. But, you know, the gospel has always been where God wants everything anyway, all through history. He wants the person themselves. We're bought with a price, he says, and we're not our own. And so if we give for any aspect of the gospel at any point in history, that would actually be the correct thing to do. And this was just... It was a motivator for people to go in that direction, but that's the direction we should go into anyway.
If you gave your house away and then it passes and it didn't happen, go back.
But again, I don't know anyone. I'm not aware of anyone that gave their house away.
Well, so but that was a real snafu. It didn't happen, and you're all left with, you know, egg on your face. How did you explain that away? How was it just a miscalculation?
Well, when we looked at the Bible. The Bible indicated that day strongly. It actually locked it in. That's why we were so dogmatic on it. And afterwards, when it didn't happen, we went back to the Bible because that's the source of truth. That if we're going to find anything or discover anything about the end of the world, we're going to learn it from the Bible. And as we went back to the Bible, we discovered that the Bible still insists that that was the day of judgment. So we continue to teach at eBible that May 21, 2011 was Judgment Day. Only it wasn't the judgment we were expecting, a physical manifestation of an earthquake and so forth. It was a spiritual judgment in which God shut the door of heaven and ended his salvation program. And we've been living, the whole world, has been living under the wrath of God in the day of judgment ever since.
You mean things have just basically, with the wars in the Middle East and horror and everything else, you think that's because God closed the salvation program?
Well,
almost
I
like Obamacare.
All,
if you don't pay
in.
Obamacare, you know, you owe $100 or whatever. So he had like a due date, and we didn't do it or it didn't happen. And
well,
so
no, God just warned the world like he did. In the flood of Noah's day, he told Noah, yet 7 days and I'll bring the flood. And Noah had an opportunity.
Hold on a minute. Christina, don't you have a question about that? Christina Palumbo is here with us.
How is it possible that Noah was able to get all of these animals to cooperate with each other enough to get on a boat and then live in harmony together?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. Well, how did it happen?
Well, it happened because God led the animals to Noah. He didn't have to go on a hunting expedition. They were all led to him, and God just, you know, God's the one who creates the animals, God's the one who directs them, and they all went to him in the pairs or in sevens that we read
so
about.
So God stripped all of the animals of their instincts.
I'm sorry, of their instinct?
Yes, because isn't it an instinct of an animal to fight, sometimes to fight another animal because of food or the chain of command or whatever?
He would have caused them to live peaceably, but also they would have been very young animals. Like even today on Facebook, you see videos of a lion and maybe a lamb frolicking in a field because they're babies.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily mean they were full-grown animals. Actually,
they were
babies or maybe eggs in some cases in order to fit everything.
Total. Now, what about if the ark really was bigger than we thought? It's like one of those celebrity cruise lines. You know, it's like really huge. Or like a battleship or something.
Well, we don't have to wonder about the dimensions. The Bible actually gives the dimensions of the ark.
40 cubits by 40 cubits or 50?
Well, I can't recall them right now, but if anybody's interested, it's listed right there. It was a very big ship. I think it turned out to be about over 900 feet long. And that's a pretty big vessel that all these animals could fit.
Now, you believe that, Chris. You believe it really happened. You don't think it was a myth to teach a lesson or a parable or something from another time that was just put into the Bible as a lesson to the believers.
Oh, no. No, it actually happened. That's true history. Mm. You know, the Bible does give parables, Christ-spoken parables. The book of Proverbs is basically a book of parables. But when we read the historical account, when we read that God spoke and created the world, and you know, this created on that day and so forth, that's true history. And, we have the record of the flood all around us. That's why we have the oil reserves that we have. It's why there is a Grand Canyon. It's why there's the fossil bones and so forth some scientists think were fossilized over long periods of time and it adds to their theory of evolution, but actually it happened during the flood it's a flood caused event. That's the reason why we have all these fossils.
How did you think Russell Crowe did in that movie? He played Noah.
I would never watch that. Get a little perturbed when I see Hollywood movies on the Bible. I saw one movie years ago where they mixed together Abraham and Noah. And historically, they lived thousands of years apart, and they had them in the same movie, in the same scene. And so they're trying to entertain. But the important thing with the Bible is if we're going to say something is biblical, it has to be as accurate to the Bible's history as possible.
So that's, and you wouldn't even go take a look at it to critique it, that maybe you would be impressed by accident.
No, I prefer not to.
All right. Now, what happened, so in the last 2,000 years, prior to that, there were human beings running loose all over the place, and there was nobody kind or nice, or nobody was doing good things until Christ was born.
You're still referring to the flood?
No, I'm going back to before Christ. I'm thinking, I know we have, religion now and Christ and the Bible and everything else, but before that, were people just horrible? They were just awful to each other all the time? Nobody was just nice because they were nice people, before there was God?
Well, there are nice people even today, amazingly. You can talk to people and they can be nice and kind and they can show forth good attributes. But what's always been within man, and this is since the fall of man into sin, is a dead soul. And the Bible says that man, and that's every one of us, has a desperately wicked and deceitful heart as a result. And so that's always been lying dormant in mankind. And actually, God had his hand of restraint over the world throughout most of its history, holding back, resisting, keeping those natural tendencies of man pretty much under control until the time of the end, where the Bible indicates he'll lift that hand of restraint, and we'll see increased wickedness. We'll see evil
multiply.
Wait,
why is it so much fun to be wicked? It feels good. You're drinking. You're having sex. God made the body. Kissing a woman, dancing, you know, I mean, you know, getting, and then the next morning, you know, you wake up and go, man, oh man, what a great night. I mean, it's confusing. It's like, and nobody's being hurt. They're just having a great time. Why is that wicked when it's a good time?
Well, God recognizes there's pleasures of sin, and he talks about that in the Bible. And it's good because it's natural. That's the way that we go, because of our actual nature is we're desperately wicked. We enjoy sin. When God sets a law, no matter what that law is, when God sets the law and he says, thou shalt not commit adultery, well, what does man want to do? He wants to commit adultery. When God says that marriage is between a man and a woman, what does man want to do? He wants to marry another man or a woman another woman. No matter what the law is, God establishes the law, and man takes
pleasure.
Well,
why didn't God say, go ahead, marry men and women marry women, and you wouldn't man want to go in the other direction? Because he just sounds cantankerous to me, this man.
Well, God's law is good. Whatever he says, he has established a good and just law, and if we actually want to be happy, I know you're talking about enjoying sin, but what happens when you do enjoy cigarettes day after day, or you enjoy alcohol, and you keep getting loaded, and you wake up with your hangover, and what are you doing to your body? See, all these things we enjoy ultimately harm us and lead to our own destruction in many cases.
And bring us misery, like liver disease.
Finally, they do. When the guy goes out 3 o'clock in the morning and he has to be at work, he's been told you better not miss another day or be late, and he comes in 3 hours late and he loses his job, or when he loses his family because he keeps fighting with his wife and she can't take it anymore. All these things, when we finally evaluate them, are a result of man transgressing God's law that's there for our own protection. If we don't go in that direction, well, then maybe we keep the job, we keep our wife, we keep the family, and so forth.
Right. Well, listen, in a few minutes, Chris McCann is going to give us the exact date of the next, of the end of the earth. And you believe that when you say the end, are we talking a physical end?
Yes. We believe, after going back to the Bible to do further study, that May 21, 2011 was Judgment Day, and the judgment was God ended his salvation program. And we have been living in the judgment of God since that time, and it will likely, we're not saying absolute, we're saying, as we look at the Bible's evidence, there's a strong possibility that October 7, 2015 of this year will be the day that judgment concludes, the spiritual judgment, and it would conclude with a physical, literal destruction.
Now, wait a minute. You said there's a likelihood. See, this opens a big door. We were just talking about that. What's your get out of jail card here if it doesn't end? That's coming soon, October 7th. What's your plan B if it doesn't happen?
We're just always going to keep studying the Bible. That's plan A, B, and C. So we're studying the Bible now, and all we're trying to do, and the reason why I'm back on your show, and thank you for having me, is to share the information we found with everyone, and present the evidence. Here it is, and anyone can check it out for themselves. They can go to Facebook, E-Bible Fellowship on Facebook, or
does
YouTube.
God use the internet? Is God, you know, in social media?
Oh yeah. Why do you think we have it? I mean, look at the history of the world. Man was very intelligent, brilliant, hundreds of years ago. I mean, certain men, And it's sometimes more intelligent than people today because they didn't have all the distractions we have today. And yet they were never able to develop the electronic medium because God kept it under wraps until the appropriate time when the population of the world would mushroom the way it has over the last couple of centuries.
Could have had computers 200-300 years ago, but he kept it under wraps.
No. The information, the know-how to develop the technology, God kept it from man. Man likes to think, oh, you know, we know so much today. But the only reason we know anything is because God opens up these doorways of understanding so that the electronic medium could develop and you could be on the radio and we could be on the internet. All I'm saying is that for thousands of years, man rode around in horse and buggies. And over the last couple hundred years, there's been tremendous advances at the exact time that the world's population exploded, and churches would no longer be able to reach the tremendous numbers of people. And in fact, the churches aren't faithful anymore, so God wouldn't want them to reach them. So he developed the electronic medium as a means for getting out his word, the Bible, to the people of the nations, like May 21, 2011.
Wait a second. Brian of Illinois, what is your question for Chris McCann? End of the Earth, October 7th, 2015. Brian of Illinois, what's your question?
Yeah, I've got a comment and a question. You know, Chris, you do a great job of really stating your understanding of the Bible, and how do you come up with this calculation? You know, because your credibility, once October 7th comes around or October 8th, you're going to look pretty not good. So,
yeah, I understand that, and you can be sure that I'm not here trying to draw people to myself, because if that were the only reason, then it would be a mistake once that day comes. We're trying to share this information because we've learned it from the Bible, and we want to share it with everyone. We're just sharing the biblical evidence, and the evidence primarily is based on the biblical calendars of history that God has placed within the Bible. God does everything according to times and seasons in a very meticulous, exact manner.
What are the words? What are the words? Where it is in the Bible? So after you've gone away, we can look it up. Where is it?
You can't do that because God hid it. He said to Daniel, seal up the word until the time of the end, and then knowledge will be increased. And now that we're at the time of the end, he's opening up.
He hid it from us. You see that? He hid it. Brian, he hid it from us. And Dan of Pennsylvania, you have a question. Apparently, the 21st of May, about 4 years ago, something happened. The door was closed. And now October the 7th, 2015, that's it. Ball game, you know, volcanoes, people catching on fire. Dan of Pennsylvania, go ahead.
Yeah, you said that God ended his salvation program. I'm wondering, can we apply for an extension? I mean,
No, because
apply, like an income tax. Can we apply?
Right, before the hammer comes down.
It doesn't work that way because God shut the door, and the Bible says what he has shut, no man can open. And we are just doorkeepers, the believers. When God had the door wide open in the days leading up to May 21, we had the privilege of sharing, go to God before that day because he's saving a great multitude. And he did.
What I'm saying is we don't open the door. We ask him for an extension. We ask him to open the door back up.
Well, you can read Genesis 7.
What about your actions? Let's say you go like this. Whew, I'm glad the earth didn't end. And from that day forward, Dan and I really change our behavior. Would God, he would notice it, wouldn't he? I mean, he's not going to still kill Dan and I. Even we've been acting great since then.
Well, because if we look at the flood account, God gave a day, the very day that the flood would come. And then it says that he shut the door of the ark on that day. And then the waters came, and I'm sure people could have come running to the ark, but God never
They did. Opened, you should have watched the movie. They were running
again.
Up to the ark.
In the movie, they're running up to the ark, and the elephants are trying to...
that's right. Now, here's the deal. Why is God so hard on us?
Now, Jay.
What difference does it make? We're all going to burn up. As soon as this show is over, Dan, we're going to go out and just drink and run around. What difference does it make now?
Absolutely.
Well, again, that's what people do normally, and man doesn't need an excuse to sin.
Now, Chris, are you scared you're going to be burnt up? You have a family, a wife and kids. They're going to be all burnt up.
The child of God doesn't look at the end of the world the way the world looks at the end of the world, because for the one that God has saved, it means a new resurrected body, a new heaven, a new earth.
It's going to be
it's going to
hurt. No, you're going to die. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt you.
No,
you're going to feel some pain.
You're transformed in an instant. And the child of God receives a new body that is perfect, and it has to be eternal, and he's going to live forevermore, and also a whole new perfect earth. It'll be restored like it was before the fall in the Garden of Eden. And so it's more of a glorious thing for the believer. That's the perspective of
So you don't think it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt the non-believer. Like Dan and I will burn up. Christina's going to burn up. I don't know anybody who's not going to burn up. It's really sad. I don't know anyone. I really don't. I don't think I know. Maybe do I know some?
Well, the vast majority of people are unsaved in the world. The Bible indicates that. They'll be destroyed. There is no place called hell. It is just a final destruction. They'll cease to be. There'll be no eternal suffering, so that you know that's the good aspect of it.
You're going to be alone, though. You're going to be with just a few people. It's not going to be a lot of people.
Well, God saved a great multitude, he says, out of the world, and God will be with his people. So there's no problem with the numbers of people.
So out of 8 or 9 billion, like what do you figure is going to be good, saved? 100 million maybe?
The number that the Bible presents, and it appears it could be an actual number rather than a figurative number, is about 200 million.
Okay, that's a good beginning. And then the rest of us are just, that's it, we're done.
Yeah, but why are we done? Why is man
it's
done?
It's too late for me. No, you know what's driving me crazy? I can't do anything.
Man wants to go his own way, and God created him, and yet he doesn't want to act as a creature.
I don't like to be told what to do.
Exactly.
I want my, you know what? That's not fair. That's not fair. I don't want to be told what to do at a certain age, because I can make my own decisions, and I'm made in God's image, and I believe God is in me and sends me pretty clear signals. It may not be out of the written Bible that you believe in, but I don't believe that God is as intractable as you make him out to be, because he didn't make intractable people. He made changing people. I mean, your version is so uptight, there's no fun in the...
Well, Jay, the thing is that you're telling me your ideas, and all kinds of people have ideas, but I'm telling you what the Bible says, which is God's ideas, and that's the difference. And it's
so it's his
difference.
World, it's not our world. He made us, he put us down here. That's the ball game. And if we want to like try and make another world or whatever, that's our problem.
Well, this is God's world. Yes, he created it. He created us. And he created us good to serve him. And
what about if we get to another planet?
Idea.
If I get to another planet,
unfortunately,
is he still...
the whole universe is corrupt because of man's sin. God brought corruption on the world, so we have thorns and thistles, and he necessarily had to bring corruption on the whole universe. All the stars and galaxies. He's going to destroy the whole thing and recreate that in order that there be no taint of sin in any aspect of the creation.
Now, you realize that I don't think anybody listening believes the world is going to end October 7th, 2015.
Well, you might be wrong. You might be wrong about that. I'm sure most, maybe a very large percentage, do not. But I believe, and the Bible indicates, that God did save many people, and those people are going to be able to hear his voice, and his voice is spoken through the word, the Bible.
And they'll be attracted
to the information if it rings true. If it doesn't, then
well, I'm
God's
mad that I can't be saved. There's nothing we can do. That angers me.
So was Esau. When it was revealed to him that Jacob got the blessing and he did not, he was very angry, and that actually does picture God giving the blessing to certain ones, those that he saves, and the others not receiving the blessing. Yes, there can be a negative response.
Can we talk to you October 8th?
Well, I would just say there's a strong likelihood that the seventh will be the completion of all things. And
here's what I'll do. We'll book you on the 6th, and we'll try and rebook you for the 8th, and if we're not here, we're not here.
All right. Well, the 6th is fine, then.
Chris, you truly believe this?
Yes. Yes, I do. I believe the Bible, and in the Bible, God says he declares the end from the beginning. And the Bible is a book of his declarations. So that means he has declared in the Bible the end of the world. And that would include the timing for it. And we've spent a lot of hours digging into the book, searching these things out. And this is what the Bible indicates. The biblical evidence, as I mentioned, points to...
It's a biblical Rubik's Cube. You just have to keep twisting and turning, and even if you're wrong about the seventh, okay, that's your miscalculation, but you say it's in there. Melody from North Carolina. It's Jay Thomas with Chris McCann, and you go to eBibleFellowship.com. He says the end of the world, according to his calculations in the Bible, October 7th, 2015. Melody, go ahead.
Okay, well, I didn't hear the very beginning of this conversation, but I am a Christian. I do believe in some of what he says. There are many scriptures in the Bible that say we don't know what hour or what day God is coming.
Yeah.
So I guess my question would be, you know, Matthew, Zechariah, Mark, Revelation, no one knows when the end of time will be. I'm not sure where you got your calculation exactly, but I don't think it's biblical.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because the Bible does say, of that day and hour knoweth no man. And the word know in the Bible can mean to experience. And the day and hour... we all experience Judgment Day. Neither the angels, neither the Son, it says in Mark 13:32, because at that time, Christ had not gone to the cross, which was his judgment. And you can check that out by looking at Matthew chapter 1, where it says of Joseph that he knew not Mary until she brought forth her firstborn son, the Lord Jesus, who was born of the Virgin Mary. And did it mean Joseph had no intellectual knowledge of Mary? Of course not. They were engaged. They knew each other intimately, except physically. And that's what it means. He did not have.
I know, but where is the date of the end of the earth? Where is October 7th, 2015? Can we look it up?
No, but you know, if there are plenty of plain statements in the Bible. And when God does state something plainly, it doesn't change man's way. He continues going his own way. Even if he said it directly and plainly, people naturally would not believe. Jesus said, because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. It's when people lie and deceive, which is what the world always does, that people believe it. They naturally believe the lie. That's the nature of man, who has a deceitful
heart. Melanie,
we're no
damn good. We're just no damn good.
Well, you know, I'm part of this too.
Let's go to Lorna, who was in Michigan. What is your question for Chris McCann, who is claiming that the Earth will end on the 7th of October? Yeah.
Hey there, Jay and Chris. I'm wondering what time zone all this end of the world thing is going to happen. Like Eastern, Pacific, Australian?
What is it? What time is it? 12:01? What is it?
We're not going to get into that. It's not very profitable to dig into all that kind of stuff.
That's right. Lorna, thank you very much. Chris, thank you. Chris McCann. And
if you want to find out more,
it's eBibleFellowship.com. We'll talk to you on the 6th. And then if we're here, we'll talk to you on the 8th. Okay?
All right.